Quite an illustration. About the things that we try to do to bring about an end. Lighting a match and putting it on the incense and just not having enough fire or flame there to sustain it. You could say the lighting of that first match was meaningless because it didn't accomplish its task. It didn't do what I set out for it to do. It was meaningless. Is that what you want your life to be when the fire from your match is out? Do you want it to have a purpose for a moment, for a time, so it sets something else on fire so that it can burn? With that which was produced in you from an outside source of the one who held it in its hand and struck it on the box and put it on the incense. Do you want to be available, even though you are just a match, to not know how you're going to be used, in what circumstance, in what time, and well, he's only lit an incense, so how meaningful is match number two? It's meaningful because it provided purpose for something greater than itself. Because it set on fire something that brings an understanding of what this life is. It's meaningless, it's a vapor, it's smoke. If the purpose isn't beyond itself. So a match that struck for the fun of the match burning only lasts a moment. But that's not why it's here. This box of matches is not here just for me to light one match and then watch it burn, letting its light shine for no other purpose than for people to see it shine and then go out very soon. I could have manipulated it to make it go longer, but what's the point if all we're going to do is watch a match burn? But the second match had a greater purpose because it's serving something for us. It's serving something to gain an understanding of something greater than us. It provided a means through which we can see how the things that we put our faith and our hope in can just be smoke that we can't grab onto, that is good to enjoy for the moment, but it's not going to last. And we're not going to last. So what are you going to put your energy and effort into in the days of your life, in the days of your youth, in the days of your middle age, in the days of your old age? How is something that's greater than you going to give you a fire so that you burn for something that's more meaningful than just your accomplishment, just your accumulation? And it might be just in simple ways, because oftentimes we think, well, that's nice, Jeff, that you have a little bit of smoke. That's nice. But man, I want to set the world on fire. I want to be the cow that kicked over the lantern in Chicago and burn everything down. That's what I want to be. Why do you want to be that? So that people can remember you, that that's what you were? Is it really about what the result is, or is it about you being remembered? Because if it's about you being remembered, then you're just building your own kingdom. God has a greater kingdom for you to be a part of than your just little kingdom that you're trying to be noticed in, that you're trying to find meaning in. And you will not find ultimate meaning and purpose if you don't look up. The writer of Ecclesiastes is telling us how miserable it is if all we have in this life is this life. Sure, embrace the good times, he said. But then what do you have? Then what do you live for? And as you listen to the passage for today, you might have thought, well, this doesn't sound like good news. This sounds like everything I'm trying to avoid. This sounds like all the things I'm trying to do to busy my mind so I don't realize and recognize the fact is that every day I'm alive brings me one more day closer to when I'm not. But I think that's good news. Because when we ignore the truth, it brings pain and suffering. You say, well, Jeff, it's pain and suffering to embrace that truth. Yet based on how you perceive it, if you're only looking at it from under the sun, it looks meaningless. But God wants to give us hope. That all this is not meaningless under the sun. It's interesting, the song that was we sang before the scripture reading, Control. Did you really hear those words? This dichotomy, this pulling, this tension that we're under the sun of, I want to have life, I want to have meaning, but you're really not going to have meaning and have life unless you give up the control. Because the life you're trying to create for yourself is life. It might have meaning, but it's not abundant. Because that life that you're creating doesn't last beyond your life. But if you let go of control, you become meaningful to this world in ways you couldn't imagine. And you set things on fire and allow God to work through you that other people can come to know him. And your legacy, even though people won't remember your name, your legacy in the mind of God is beyond imagination. Wouldn't you rather God remember the little match strike that sets something else on fire rather than, I just want to make something burn so other people can see it burn. And then I can say, I did that. But when you give up control, all the praise might come through you, but it ultimately goes up to the Father because you've just made yourself available as a match to be struck, to set something on fire that God intends. This is beyond us. So we have to ask the question that has brought us to this point in Ecclesiastes. Basically, the question he's asking is, why live as though it's winter when it's spring? Why live as though it's winter when it's really spring? We can get so focused on what's coming that we can't enjoy what is. Because if we're living as though it's winter, we're not preparing the ground. We're not sowing seed. We're not doing anything. We're just waiting for the temperatures to rise. But when we're in springtime, we know that there is a time, as you go back to earlier in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. There's a time to plant. There's a time to reap. But if you're thinking about the winter of life and not enjoying the spring, the summer, the fall, and allowing the beauty that comes in each season of that in your life, you're missing out. God doesn't want us to miss out on that. Because when we feel purposeless, what comes next is hopelessness. And if all you think you are is a little match to burn for a little while and have no other purpose, what hope is in that? But if you see and recognize that your life can be a blessing to the world that God created for the sake of the world that God created, that gives you purpose beyond your life. It gives you an eternal purpose. And don't you want to be a part of that? I think that's why you're here right now, is because you want to be a part of that. And God does too. He wants you to be a part of that. And he wants to sow those seeds in your life and give you that meaning and purpose to say, don't worry about you knowing how it's going to work out. Just do. Just trust. Just obey. Just love me. And allow that love that you have for me be the love that you translate for other people so that they can see me. Because that's the only way they're really going to come to know me. So don't make it a big thing in your mind of what you have to do. Just be. Be what God created you to be. In the passage of scripture, he says, so cast your bread upon the sea or send out your grain. You don't know what's going to return. He says, you have to accept something that God's just not going to come down and say, okay, this is how everything's going to work out. Here's your game plan. And this is, there will be no excitement. There will be no surprises. And guess what happens when there's no surprises? There's really no joy. It's like, oh, yeah, I knew that was happening. But why do we want that? I think it's because when we get to those places where we're not sure what's going to happen, we're afraid we can't handle it. But we have to remember we have a God and a Father who oversees all these things, who can allow us and empower us to handle whatever comes. And that's the building of that trust that this God loves me even though I'm living in this broken world. And we have to remember, if we do nothing, we will receive nothing. That's sowing and reaping. And he tells us that. He says, don't just fold your hands and wonder, well, I don't want to do something because it might fail. Yeah, so what? Well, then other people might say I'm a failure. Let them say that, but you tried. They didn't. You're not a failure. You trusted me. They didn't. I'm happy with you. I love you because you trusted me enough to try even when it might fail. And then there might be some things that succeed that you don't even realize are a success until someday you're in heaven and somebody comes up alongside you and say, hey, you know what? I'm here because of something you did. You go, what? Who are you? Oh, well, I was working with you and, you know, I just saw how you handled certain things. And man, I was afraid to come and talk to you, but boy, you really, your example to me was amazing. Well, not me. I could. I'm a wreck. I'm a mess. And yeah, true. Aren't we all? But you know what? When you get in a wreck, you're going, eh, well, that happens sometimes. I see other people get in a wreck and it destroys them. They become a wreck and you didn't. That blew me away. And because of that, I kind of started wondering about you, and I heard that you were a person of faith, so I started seeking out my own. You go, well, I guess I really didn't do anything, did I? What? You don't realize the seed, that little seed that you sowed without realizing it in my life is why I'm here today. You did something. You allowed yourself to be used. But I had to allow that seed to take root, and I had to allow God to work in me. Yeah, all those things are true, but you played a part. So sow your seed today. Because in somehow, some way, there'll be a harvest tomorrow. Don't be afraid. Don't worry what others will say. I know I struggle with that a lot. And I'm preaching more to me right now than to you. Just do it, Jeff. But he also says, don't be foolish either. Don't try to outsmart the system. He says, you know, don't be one of those people who say, well, you know, the wind's blowing and boy, I can't sow today. Or, you know, it's going to rain, so I can't harvest today. There's something that's keeping me from it. But then I have to go inside myself and say, Jeff, what is it that fills you with these excuses? And the biggest thing in my life is the fear of the rejection, that what I'm sowing isn't meaningful. But that's because I'm focusing too much on what the soil is saying instead of the master who created me to be seed for the sake of their soil. He says, don't worry about it, Jeff. You don't know my way. You know, time marches on. Don't be so focused on how you're going to squeeze every ounce of life out of this life in ways that are detrimental to you, but squeeze life out of this life that are going to be positive for you and others. Enjoy what I have allowed you to accept into your life. He says, live well in spite of the inevitable. That's living today. That's sowing today. That's embracing today. Jeff brought up in the class, I hope if you haven't seen the class, go back and look at it later, but he talked about carpe diem, seize the day. Because that's all you have. Right now, all you have to do is listen, and there's going to be lots of things that are trying to get in the way. But not only do we live well in spite of the inevitable, we also live well because of the inevitable. Because we don't want to be a match that just burns for a while and has no purpose. We want to live in a way that says, at the end of my days, I don't want to say, well, you know, I wish I had. We have to address the fear and why it's there. He says, enjoy all the days in the light, all the days when you were young. Accept those things, but remember, there will be darkness of days. Remember that it's not always going to be good and happy and joyous. Embrace the reality that we're living in a broken world, but I'm with you in that broken world. And you can bring change in that broken world just by embracing me and allowing me to live through you. And do it with all your might. Don't give in to fear or failure. People often contemplate most what they most wish to avoid. Isn't that a waste of time? Why not acknowledge what you want to avoid? See if it's really something that needs to be avoided, or maybe something you just need to buck up and empower yourself and just throw yourself into and say, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to show up in this circumstance and just be me. But oftentimes when we sit there and think and wrestle and process all this stuff, what are we doing? Time is ticking by and nothing is happening. And then you get to the end of the day and you go, glad I didn't have to do that. As opposed to maybe you did that and you go, man, I'm really glad I did that. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you just bucked it up and you did it? And you didn't know what was going to happen, and all of a sudden you went, whoa, I didn't expect that. And God says, exactly. Don't trust in yourself. Trust me. One of my colleagues at New Life, he's our addiction counselor, great guy, A.J. Schreier, came up with this idea that is pretty simple, but so important, I think. He says, most times with the people that he works with in addiction, they're always thinking about the what ifs. Are you one of those people? That what if? And your what ifs are all about fear and worry and doubt. Worst case scenarios and insecurities. What if? And he says that's like being lifted off the ground with balloons. Okay, well, if this is what is sustaining your thoughts and your life, all these what ifs, what control do you have over your life? You are only a passenger forever, wherever the wind will take you. And we think, yeah, that's what life is. I just don't know. No, what we need is what is. He says, you know, you just change one little letter. Change an F to an S. And you go, what is? It grounds us to reality. Because when we're in our fears, our worries, our doubts, our worst case scenarios, and our insecurities, we're creating a world of fantasy that isn't the world of our reality. And we're living in the fantasy and the fears that keep us from living life well now. But what we need is something that'll ground us like a tree firmly planted. And you read the Psalms and it talks about a tree that is planted near a river that is well nourished and its roots grow out. Boy, when the wind comes, it's like, go ahead, wind, give it your best shot. Because I'm grounded. I know who I am, what life is about. And you're not going to just blow me, as Paul says, like on the waves. I will be able to sustain whatever you have to throw on me because a seed was planted and I grew out of that ground and I'm firmly planted in God. Death will find you. But seek the road which makes death a fulfillment. Death will find you, but seek a road which makes death a fulfillment. It's at the end of my life, it's going to be a celebration. At the end of my life, people are going to say, man, the impact this person had on me that they didn't even realize. I probably should have told them, but I didn't. But you know, that really doesn't matter because I was just glad that they offered themselves to me and didn't hold themselves back from me because they were afraid of me. This can create an environment of misery if all we're afraid of is death. When I was driving here today, Blue Oyster Cult came on. Don't fear the reaper. Yeah. That's what Ecclesiastes says. Don't fear the reaper. Because you have not just life now, but you have life eternal. Because Paul says, death, where's your sting? Because we have a better hope, a better purpose. I never thought I'd get a picture of this. I'd mentioned years ago when we were out in Washington that was driving by a cemetery and there was a U-Haul and I go, oh, I wish I had a camera. Well, I've told you before, I live across from the cemetery and I walk and run through the cemetery. Lo and behold, can't take it with you. So why are we holding on so tightly to something that we're afraid if we invest it, it's not going to return to us? Ecclesiastes says, no, let it go. Let's see how God will bring back to you, to the kingdom, a blessing that you can't imagine. And don't you realize the things that you're storing up on earth that fit into this little van? He says, all that stuff's going to rust, all that stuff's going to rot. But guess what? The place into which you are going, there is no rust, there is no rot, and there is abundance that you don't even have to hold on to, because there's going to be so much that you're not going to have to worry if there's going to be any left at the end of the day. So why not invest now? Address those fears that keep you from doing that. He says, enjoy your life when you're young. Consider the consequences, though. But he wants the young to remember, hey, grab on to the beauties and the blessings of life. But also do it with wisdom. Because so many things in life that the world says is beautiful and fulfilling really bring death quicker. And don't bring life. He says, so remember God in your youth. And Jeff made this point earlier, is why not invest in that when you're young and imagine what's going to come when you're older, because you put in the time, the energy, and the effort to embrace that there is a God who loves me and cares for me, and I'm going to allow him in whatever I do to shine through me. And he also tells the old, remember God before you die. Before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is smashed. We must be content with the life that God has given us to live, rather than the life of fantasy of self-fulfillment and self-survival and self-gratification. But God will gratify us in ways that we can't imagine. So here's where it comes to. From meaningless to meaningful. From smoke to purpose. How do we get there? We have to ask, what's grounding me? Or am I just full of the what ifs? He says, embracing who God is will ground you. He knows it all, folks. He loves you abundantly, proven with his son on a cross that you are an object of love in spite of your fullness of sin. So focus on his love and not your sin. And when sin comes up, address it. Work on it. And know that a father in heaven, like we as parents, would say, that's all I want for you, is to realize the things that are holding you back. Because I know if you just let it go, you will have abundance of life. Embrace the God that is. Trust in what Jesus has done for you. That when he died on the cross and his blood was spilled and you were buried with him in baptism, that your sins were washed away. And as 1 John says, the blood of Jesus continuously washes you. So when you fall on your face and you get back up, you're still washed. You don't have to say, no, I'm a mess, I'm dirty again. No, you're not. You're continuously washed by the blood of Jesus, because what he does keeps anything sin can do to you away from you unless you let it. So stop embracing your sin and embrace the Savior who redeemed you from it. Trust that you are free. Trust that you are holy and set apart. Believe whose you are in Christ. You're his child. And it's not transaction. You do right, you'll get good. You do wrong, oh boy. That's not a relationship. It's a transaction. A relationship is I'm going to endure with you even though you're not perfect, because there's something more about you and there's something more about me that makes this relationship meaningful and worth having. And God says, you are meaningful and worth having a relationship with. And you need to trust that, because Satan's going to try to tell you, you don't deserve it. And what you can tell to Satan is, you're right. Praise God, because that's the good news. That in spite of me deserving these things, God gives it to me anyway. So we live with gratitude and purpose that is beyond myself, for the sake of self and others. So we realize today is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And in John 7, verse 37, he says, on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood up with a loud voice. If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. And this believing isn't just accepting, oh yeah, I believe. No, this is a fountain, folks. It's like the fountain saying, yeah, I believe water can come through me. No, this is a fountain saying, man, turn it on. I have no meaning here as a fountain if there is not water flowing through me. Because that is my purpose, to allow that which God is, the water of life, to flow through me, to bring beauty and life to others, for them to enjoy, for them to realize there's something beyond this world. That is good news. So as we wrestle with this, at the beginning, we talked about the control. Stop controlling your view of you. Stop it. What's it do for you? It keeps you from being vital and alive in the kingdom, because you don't think your life has meaning. And God says, oh, you're so wrong. You are the apple of my eye. So I pray that you leave this place today embracing this truth, that you can stand before your God, even though you're not perfect, knowing that he has perfected you. And this is why we stand and give him all the glory. Let's stand and give him praise.